Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, truckers? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's coming at you. It's Sunday evening, April 4th, and hope everybody's having a very happy Easter out there. You know, this is, I was just thinking about why truck drivers do what they do, and it's days like this where you can get together with the family and hang out and spend some time together, and it's great to have everybody out there trucking along. You know, this time of day when it's Sunday and there was a holiday today, a lot of truckers still have to get out there and make some deliveries tomorrow morning. So they might be out and about late tonight. So I want everybody to drive safe and be safe out there and be careful. You know, that's because, you know, enjoying the day is the reason why we work so hard. So I want everybody to stay safe out there. So we're just trucking along through here with some headlines that happened this past week. And there's some intriguing things going on. So, you know, there's a blitz coming up. And so this nation's biggest trucker enforcement blitz is weeks away. And here's a cheat sheet to get you ready. And then there was a California court dismisses XPO meal rest break complaint. It says trucker leaking hydrogen creates shutdown hazmat situation. A trucker accused of kidnap and assault of a teenager. It says it's all misunderstanding. I'm sure that it is. Crazy stuff. It says trucker plows into parked cars, nearly hits barbershop during medical emergency. I was kind of intrigued to hear about that one. It's something to think about. So the other one, I think it's a build off of last week, but it's 123 immigrants discovered inside the trailer of a driver who says he was not aware that he was transporting people. So a lot of those headlines we're going to dive into, and I hope everybody's having a safe night out there, and we'll get into those tonight. And you can call in at 516-387-1733. To be part of the conversation, just hit 1. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we appreciate everybody doing that. We got a shout out to one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You know, it's an all-in-one app that truckers can go to plan their routes, find fuel stops, find maintenance facilities. And you can book and track freight on there too. So it's an all-in-one thing. They've spent a lot of money to update it and keep it going and always try to maintain the, you know, new stuff and updated stuff. And, you know, it's one of those things where you send them messages and they pretty much react to it instantly, where they can go in and correct any kind of problems that you might have. Or, you know, basically it's a lot of times it's operator error. So, you know, you got to learn how to use the app sometimes a little better. So, you know, always good to get some instruction like that. So you can check them out at truckertools.com. Or go to your app store on your phone, download the app, and check them out. And like I said, give them a rating and tell them what you like or don't like about the app. And they're all, like I said, they're always updating it, and it's a great thing. And if you don't mind, you give them a little shout and tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's. And we appreciate you doing that for us, because we appreciate Trucker Tools for supporting Redneck and I's and all the things we do. So to dive into that, we're just hitting it up here. And like I said, the hours of service, there's an enforcement blitz coming up here. It says nation biggest trucker enforcement blitz is weeks away. And here's a cheat sheet to get you ready on the CDLLife.com website. And this article was published on April 1st. It says Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, the CVSA, is gearing up for a major 72-hour truck inspection effort in just a few weeks. The CVSA's international road check will take place on May 4th through the 6th throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Law enforcement agencies will conduct tens of thousands of commercial motor vehicle inspections during the three-day effort. It says during this year's enforcement effort, inspections will be paying extra attention to two areas, hours of service violations and lighting violations. According to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, the lighting violation, lamp inoperable, Title 49 code of the Federal Regulation 393.9, was the number one violation in fiscal 2020, accounting for approximately 12.24% of all vehicle violations discovered in that area. And during last year's international road check, the top driver out of service violation category in North America was hours of service, accounting for 34.7% of all driver out of service conditions, the CVSA said. So what it boils down to, if anybody out there, just, you know, you may, if you ever have never come up to one of these things, you know, remember, it's not just the hours of service that they can check for that day. They go back. Well, they'll go back as long as you have it. If you have a logbook that has 30 days in it, they can go back and double check all those days. They can audit the whole shebang. They're technically only supposed to get you for the last 7 days because that reflects your week. But I've heard drivers say that they've been busted for being out of service or out of over hours 2 weeks ago when they got inspected. And, you know, it all depends. And a lot of times what it is that you don't fight it. So if you don't fight it, they're still going to write it up. The other thing is that they're going to give you an inspection. Now, it hurts you worse when you get an inspection and they give you those violations. Now, if you were to just to get a violation with no inspection, then it's just a ticket and you can fight it or not fight it. But a lot of times that CVSA score that they give you or the CSA score that they give you, it's only on violations or on inspections. I'm sorry. If you have an inspection and you have a violation under that inspection, that reflects on the CSA. And I think that they're cracking down on that a little harder to where they're not going to do that as much. But the problem that I've seen is that the officers that are doing the inspections don't know the rules. They know the rules. They know that you're violating the hours of service. But what they don't understand is how you can fight it and you can't fight it. You can't fight it on an inspection. It's not going to go away. Okay. But if you have just a ticket, then you can always, you know, fight. Tickets are always fightable. So, but the inspection, they're not going to be able to fight those. So just remember that. And so like right now is the time to just start going, you know, if you haven't gone legal, go legal now, because if you've got the logbook in your truck, they're going to see it and they're going to go. Now, if you run electronic logs, of course you shouldn't be in violation, but what they usually do is they can punch up the little code on the book, on the logbook, and it'll, however far they want to go back, they can go back. So just know that it's not just that day. Don't think that just because you're not out of service that day, you know. So a lot of the other things is, of course, the brakes and the coupling devices and all that. And it says here on brakes, it says checking for missing, non-functioning, loose, contaminated, or cracked parts on the brake system. Check for S-cam flipover. Be alert of audible air leaks around brake components and lines. Check the slack adjusters are the same length from center of S-cam to center of clevis pin, and the air chambers are on each axle are the same size. Ensure the air system maintains air pressure between 90 and 100 PSI. It says inspect for non-manufactured holes, rust holes, holes created by rubbing or frictions, and broken springs in the spring brake housing section of the parking brakes. You know, that's a big one too, because it's really easy to see. And what they're talking about is that little spring that connects the brakes on the inside. You can just see it right inside there. And they can get broke pretty easy because, like I said, it's just right there. It's exposed. So, and it says here, it says measure push rod travel, inspect required brake system warning devices such as ABS malfunction lamps, low air pressure warning devices, inspect tractor protection system, including the bleed back system on the trailer. Ensure the breakaway system is operable on the trailer. And basically what this boils down to is that, you know, if you're not getting your brakes checked on a regular basis, you need to get them checked. And it's always a good idea to get the brakes checked when, right before this, if you're going to be out. You know, a lot of drivers that I talk to, they you know, that's a good time. Just take a long weekend, just take some time off, you know, and I agree, you know, especially if you travel in those areas that are going to have this stuff going on, because some of the states just don't get involved with it. A lot of states that don't usually get out there and enforce, sometimes they'll set up some places, especially in their high traffic areas. So it's always good to double check. It says coupling devices, safety devices, it says full trailers, converter, dolly. It says check the safety devices, chain, wiring, rope for sufficient length, missing components and improper repairs and to the device are incapable to secure attachment. On the lower fifth wheel, check for unsecured mounting to the frame or any missing or damaged parts in any visible space between the upper and lower fifth wheel plates. Verify that the locking jaws are around the shank and not the head of the kingpin, and that the release lever is seated properly and the safety latch is engaged. You know, we always check that on a pre-trip when you're hooking up a trailer, is you climb under and you make sure that it's going across. And when you see it going across the latch, make sure you see the bottom of the kingpin where it's up in the joint, in the little joint area. That's always a good spot. You know, I mean, you're always looking, but sometimes you're just looking to check. You're not really looking. So that kind of thing is what they're looking for. You can see it go across, but then you look down, you can't see the bottom of the kingpin underneath the latch. Well, then you're not all the way under it, or it's not seated properly. So that's what you always want to check out for. And the other thing is making sure that the handle, you know, what they tell you in the video, you see it a lot, is to push on the handle, make sure it's all the way in. And so that's always a good thing. I always like trying to hit it maybe a little harder than I should, just to make sure I hear that, you know, that going right in. That's what you always want to look for. You don't want to hit it too hard to where you don't feel it at all. You want to hit it just hard enough to where you can feel it hit, but then you can feel it lock. And that's what you want to do. And then when you get out and check, you know, that's where you double check that. It says check the upper fifth wheel for any damage to the weight bearing plate. It says such as cracks, loose or missing bolts on the trailer, on the sliding fifth wheel. It says check for improper engagement of locking mechanism. The teeth are fully engaged on the railing. It says also check for worn or missing parts. Ensure that the position does not allow the tractor frame rails to contact with the landing gear during turns. Check for damaged or missing fore and aft stops. So, you know, I always thought it was weird about the landing gear. You know, we always want to make sure we don't want to hit it because we don't want to tear nothing up. But a lot of trailers, sometimes if you're pulling a different trailer, you don't really know for sure. So you always want to double check that. Some instances, if you have a trailer that might have some kind of short landing gear on it where it's not going to give you a lot of room, especially if you have a bigger tractor that may have an extra space in between the frame and the back axle, if you're able to take the mud flaps off, take them off, because that will ensure that it's going to clear even more. That way you're not going to, because you don't have to have mud flaps on the tractor drive tires in the back like that unless you're bobtailing. So you don't have to have the mud flaps directly back there. And that's another thing. I think a lot of law enforcement, they don't know that. They want to see mud flaps. They like seeing mud flaps. But you don't have to have them on the truck while you're hooked to a trailer. It's not required. You have to have them on the very rear, which is the trailer. And then when you unhook, then you have to have them on the tractor because that's the very rear. That's what it is, the very rear of the truck. So remember that. And if you get into a problem, you can take them off. You know, that way, if you have any kind of problems with it clearing, you don't have to worry about that. So, and that's just kind of like a, you know, keeping things from getting messed up or damaged. But, you know, they say here they want to check for that and they want to make sure you can clear. And if you can't clear, I guess it's a violation. I'm not real sure. So it says fuel and exhaust systems. Check for fuel tanks or falling conditions, loose mountings, leaks, and other conditions, loose or missing caps or signs of leaking fuel below the tanks. For exhaust systems, check the following: unsecure mounting, leaks beneath the cab, exhaust system components in contact with electrical wiring or brake lines and hoses, and excessive carbon deposits around the seams and clamps. Like I said, they don't like exhaust leaks. They don't like it at all. It doesn't even matter if you're running a straight pipe or nothing. You got to have whatever pipes are on there. You got to have them. They can't have any holes in them. So just double check all that stuff. The big thing is the flex hose. If you have any flex hose it's over time. Those are the first ones to go, and you don't see it because you know it's a small. The cracks are in the joints, and what they do is they check for any kind of, if it gets dirty around there, then you can see it, and they can tell that. And a lot of these fancy ones, they got detections and all that stuff like that. So they can go around checking while the truck's running, and they go back there and look and all that. So check for that leaking exhaust. But you know, it amazes me. I see it. I don't know if y'all see it or not. I see out there, there's all kinds of like barely hanging on fuel tanks, you know, the mufflers and stuff that, you know, barely hanging on or bent or leaning, you know, they're in the back all nice and tall and they're kind of going a different direction or whatever. it amazes me those places, those trucks don't get shut down as often as they probably should be. So, you know, I hope we get it taken care of, but you know, that's the only reason why I kind of like the enforcement stuff, because, you know, you go tell the driver and he, you know, mind your own business. That's what they say, you know, and then we get pissed off at each other when, you know, when things come down the line where we want to try to make things better, but then there's tons of drivers out there that don't care about making the system better. They just want to milk it for all they can and go to the next one. That's what they do. So it says other checklist things, of course, is lighting, secure your cargo, the frame, and checking the body of the trailer. You know, that's a big deal. You know, we if we drop and hook trailers all the time, a lot of times we pick things up that's got holes or some kind of defective parts on the trailers, and we want to check that stuff, and we want to make sure it's good to go. Cargo securement, if you run flatbed, you know, you can run into a lot of problems with that because there are restrictions on that stuff. And vans, don't get shy. If you run van out there, you know, don't think just because it's locked up in the trailer they can't check. It's still got it. There's certain things that still have to be secured. The new rule that came down, what, about 5 or 6 years ago when they had to, it doesn't even matter. If you're hauling liquid in a container, and I think the container just has to be more than 500 pounds. If it's a heavy, like one of those large 4x4 liquid containers, those have to be properly secured, and you have to have, a tanker endorsement to haul that stuff. And then, you know, anything else, hazardous material, that's got to be secured. You know, a lot of guys out there, they run LTL, and a little bit of hazmat that can throw your whole thing out of whack if it's not properly secured inside that trailer. Hey, they may get up there and check. You never know. It says steering. Of course, that's probably part of our pre-trip is to look out for the steering. And then, like I said, the lighting, man, checking the lights. It says lights were out, the lights out. And that to me, that's like all the lights. Like you're supposed to have three in the middle and one, you know, one on each side. If one of those ones in the middle is out, that's a violation. They're going to get you for that every time. You know, having your parking lights on each side, your turn signals and your parking lights, even though you got these bright headlights, you still got to have the amber lights on the side. You still got to have that. And you're supposed to have one somewhere on the tractor in the middle, you know, either on the fairing or on the side. Sometimes a lot of these newer trucks, they put them up by the door. And then you got to have the ones in the back on the tractor working. They got to be working. Even though you're hooked to a trailer, the lights on the truck still have to work. Brake lights and all. And then, of course, your turn signals, the ones in the middle, the ones in the back. You know, a lot of times we get trailer lights going out, and then we don't feel like climbing up there. You know, the biggest ones that go out on the top of the vans are the ones on the top corners. They got to be working. So you got to check all that and make sure it's going good. Lights are a big deal. I hope that drivers out there are checking their lights, because you see a lot of guys out there running with their high beams, and the reason why they're running their high beams is because one of their low beams is out, and they don't want to be, you know, pulled over for having a headlight out. And so they put their high beams on thinking they'll get away with it. I see it. I catch it all the time. So I don't know if the cops don't see it or not. I don't know. And the last on the list was, of course, tires, wheels, and rims, and hubs. Check for proper inflation, cuts and bulges, groove tires, steering axle, tread wear, major tread groove depth, inspect sidewalls and proper repairs, exposed fabric and cord, contact any part of the vehicle, tire markings, excluding it from using as a steering axle. You know, that's another thing too. If you try to pass off a tire that's not supposed to be, if you're trying to put a drive tire on a steer axle, you know, they're going to catch it, you know, if you've been driving for a while, you can tell that which tire by looking at the tire, but it's got it written on there what it's supposed to be. So make sure that even though you can tell, always try to make sure it has it written on it. And especially with the drive tires as well. A lot of times what we do as drivers, even owner operators, they might buy all position tires. And a lot of drivers, you know, they say they get better life out of running steer tires on their drive axle. You know, they're just designed to last longer. So they say they get, you know, a good fuel mileage and a long time wear for that. You know, I haven't really dealt with it that much, to be honest with you. So I don't know, but you know, maybe some guys out there do, and it's all good, because it's the steer axle that's the biggest. That's because you can't, it's one of those things. There's one, two, three. You got steer axles, you got drive, You got steer tires, you got drive tires, and you got trailer tires. You can't put trailer tires on any other axle but the trailer tires, but the trailer. Your drives can be anywhere on the drive axle and the trailer. Your steers, pretty much all position tires. They can go anywhere. So it's kind of like, you know, just think of it as back to front, just kind of like setting the table. The steer tires can be used on any axle. The trailer tires can only be used on the trailer axles. So you can't move them up. Just remember, you can't move them up. You can't move a tire up to the next axle. You can only move them back. So that's a good rule of thumb. And, of course, always checking the hubs for lubricant leaks, missing caps and plugs, misalignment and positioning, and damage worn or missing parts. Check for the rims for their crack or bent. You know, a lot of times a steer tire, a wheel on the steer, I've seen it where it'll right there on the lug hole, right there where it'll just a small little crack. So you might see it sometimes where you see a little black line. You need to get in there and rub it and make sure that line, because sometimes it's just like stray grease somewhere, some kind of road grime, and something got attached to it and it looks like a crack, but you get in there and rub it and make sure it's off, make sure it's gone. And that way, you know, it's not a crack, but you know, cracks are pretty easy to see if you're running aluminum wheels. Steel is a little harder. Sometimes the rust covers them up. So you need to make sure you look for that. They'll be looking because it's one of the big things. Of course, loose or damaged lug nuts can get cracked, no matter where. Elongated stud holes have cracks across spokes and the web area. That's what I was talking about. Have evidence of slippage in the clamp areas. So those are the things that they're looking for on the road inspection. Like I said, that's going to be, what did it say, the May 4th. Slide back up here and double check. May 4th through May 6th, 2021. So check that, mark that on your calendars. Maybe that's a good time to take some time off. You never know. But that's what they'll be looking for on that. And I want everybody to stay safe and legal. And that's the big thing, is making sure that they don't shut you down, because time and money is what it's about, right? So check that out. And like I said, check out Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. Check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Check our Facebook page, Twitter. Twitter is at redneckandeyes2012. Our Facebook is you go search redneckandeyes, redneckandeyes.com. We got links to all of our social media on our website. And, of course, we got YouTube videos on our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody for signing up for that. And subscribing to our YouTube channel. We've been getting some great feedback on that. We really appreciate everybody's help to getting that going. And we want to keep it going through. And we're going to keep posting videos. We're going to keep doing this. Thanks to Unplug Radio for letting us have this Sunday night where we can do a podcast and just get the message out there to drivers. And we appreciate everything that everybody's doing for us out there. So we're going to step away, take a little break. We'll be right back. All right, now, stay safe.
That before, but that's fine.
Some foreign car, yep. Driving dude with a road rage attitude, so. Pulled up beside me talking on his cell phone. He started yelling at me like I did something wrong. He flipped me the bird and then he was gone. Some beach somewhere, there's a big umbrella casting shade over. Cigar was getting into his car. I stopped and I waited for him to back up. But from out of nowhere, a Mercedes-Benz came cruising up and whipped right in. Some beach somewhere, there's nowhere to go and you got all that waiting room. It seemed like all afternoon. The nurse finally said, "Doc's ready for you. You're not gonna feel a thing. We'll give you some Novocaine. That tooth will be fine in a minute or two." Then he stuck that needle down deep in my gum, and he started drilling before I was numb. Some beach somewhere, there's a beautiful sunset burning up the atmosphere. There's music and dancing and lovers romancing the salty evening air on some beach somewhere.
Whoops. Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
All right, guys. All right, good deal. Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes coming at you. This is Redneck and I is all things trucking and then some. Hope everybody is having a great evening out there. You know, we were just going over, there's a blitz coming for the enforcement inspection. And then there's some other headlines that came across, some legality stuff that I wanted to look into. And it seemed pretty interesting because, of course, it comes out of California. And sometimes I always like to tell truckers that, you know, if they start doing things in California, it might come down the pipe. And something I've just been hearing on the regular news that I wanted to mention is that California has a law that pretty much eliminates the owner-operator. They have it's a harder test. It makes being an owner-operator, you know, it's like it basically defines what a contractor is. And a regular owner-operator, how we see it here in the regular world, other than California, is different. They make it different to where the contractor does not really have to follow any kind of special guidelines that a lot of these companies set. Like FedEx has guidelines where your truck has to be white. You have to have lettering on the truck, just like their company trucks. You have to have uniforms, stuff like that. A lot of owner-operator companies have where you can't work for anybody else. You have to work only for them. You can't have any other logos on the truck, you know, other than your name or the name of your company, and a lot of things like that. Well, California pretty much came down the pipe saying that that's not, you know, that's not what they want. They want it to be where if you have to follow these rules, then you technically are a company driver. And when they do that, what they force the companies doing is they force the companies to pay, of course, workers' comp insurance, and they force companies to withhold taxes, pay for the they don't want the owner-operators paying all of the, you know, Medicare tax and all that stuff like that that goes into the California system. I don't know if anybody knows, but I'm pretty sure, I think last I heard, California kind of has a Social Security just like the federal government has, where they take money out of people's checks to fund their welfare state kind of thing. I'm pretty sure of that. Don't quote me, but I know taxes are pretty high and a lot of people don't like it, so. A lot of people moved out. You know, I live in Texas here, and there's so many people from California that have moved here because of just the jobs that moved here. So what I saw was that they're talking about that being introduced to the federal government as a way to eliminate more of these contractor positions, eliminating them so that, you know, like Uber, DoorDash, all of these places that have like contract the owner-operator style format where you work when you want and you drive your own vehicle and you pay for your own insurance. You know, they're kind of doing away with that kind of stuff. And they're wanting to go national with that. So I was just tell people, just watch out, because California starts something up, and then if they get enough people elected, then those kind of rules spill over. And there was another article in freightwaves.com where it says the California court dismisses XPO meal rest break complaint. Dispute over failure to pay business expenses, minimum wage, still to be resolved in class action suit. And I think this falls in line with it here. It says the California district court this week dismissed claims alleged by roughly 500 current and former drivers for XPO Logistics that the company failed to pay wages for missed meals and rest breaks. The decision by the U.S. District Court of the Central District of California in Angel Omar Alvarez, it says versus XPO Logistics LLC, is part of an ongoing case initiated in 2018 by drivers seeking damages for unpaid wages and benefits based on XPO's alleged misclassification of its drivers as independent contractors. And there you go. So this is what it's going to boil down to, is who says who, you know, who says that you're an independent contractor. And I've seen these cases before, but they're just abundantly more in California. It says the big factor in the court's decision weighing in XPO's favor was in December of 2018 order by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration declaring that its hours of service regulations preempt California's meal and rest break laws. Earlier this year, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court upheld the FMCSA order after it was challenged by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and the state of California. So this is one of those things where it's the federal. See, so a federal law overstates the California law. So what I'm saying is that what they've done is they've actually went and tried to change. Now they're trying to change federal law so that pretty much this lawsuit would actually go forward if the federal law has ever gotten changed. And that's what you have to watch out for. And it's, I mean, you know, hey, it all depends on what you went in to do. If you're trying to be an owner operator, then you're going to have to be an owner operator. You're going to have to accept the fact that the company's not going to pay everything. Now, if you went into it thinking that you're a company driver, and I can see, because FedEx has it, where FedEx is a big company, but they hire contractors to hire drivers. These drivers are company drivers, but they don't work for FedEx. They work for somebody else. And that person is in charge of paying their benefits and stuff. So you have to, you know, it's different. So you have to always look at that. Don't think that because you work for you drive a FedEx truck, you work for FedEx. It's not that way. It says the district court agreed, citing in 2020 case involving truckload carrier Heartland Express, that the FMCSA order applies retroactively by necessity because the FMCS order forecloses benefit enforcement of the preempted laws. Regarding the non-binding argument, the court pointed out that the four requests for an in-bank rehearing of the upper court's decision had been subsequently denied in March. In addition to unpaid wages for meal and rest breaks, the drivers were suing XPO for, among other things, failing to pay minimum wages, reimburse business expenses, waiting time penalties, and unfair competition. So minimum wage, see, now I think California has a law saying that the drivers have to get paid minimum wage. I don't know how you do that. How do you say that? You know, because the federal government doesn't say that. The federal government says if you get paid hourly, you're supposed to get paid a minimum wage. But if you don't get paid hourly, then there's no minimum wage requirement. So if you're getting paid 25 cents a mile and you don't get paid unless you work, unless you're driving, that's not part of the minimum wage deal. Like I said, they're trying to get that law changed, but that's how it is. It says an attorney for the drivers acknowledged that while the district court's decision was significant, it was not the biggest in terms of claims against XPO. We have quite a few cases of action. The unpaid business expenses has the most liability involved, the attorney told Freightways. The case is still going forward. The driver's prospects for a win against XPO, as well as the drivers in other pending and future cases alleging worker misclassifications, may have been given a boost by the Biden administration, which last month initiated a rulemaking to withdraw a Trump administration rule on the definition of independent contractors under the Fair Labor and Standards Act and had favored employees. And that's what I'm talking to you about, is you just got to watch out for that. Now, there's big debate among just regular people about what that all means. And it really, it's not that big of a deal. It all depends on what you're trying to do. What do you want to do? What are you wanting to do? Are you wanting to be a company driver? Then go be a company driver. Don't think that, you know, say, hey, I went over here and bought me a big fancy Peterbilt. Now I want you to pay me to drive this Peterbilt and pay for everything and pay me my, you know, benefits, insurance and time, meal breaks and all that stuff like that. But I want, because I bought it, I want to drive this big fancy Peterbilt. That's not how it works. They're just going to shut you down and go, they're going to do something else. And that's, you know, what they're going to do is what they've been doing is that, you know, I don't think it's one thing. What it is that you think that becoming an owner operator, you have all this freedom, and you don't really. You're still a truck driver. You still got to abide by the rules of truck driving. As an owner operator, if you want true freedom, then you got to go out and get it, which means you go out and get your own authority, go get your own customers. That's true freedom, because then you still have to provide customer service to your customers. So you want to go work for the customers, then you go do that and you go pay the insurance, you go pay for your equipment, go pay to get your equipment worked on. Okay. But if you want to be an owner operator and you want to lease to a carrier, you know, carrier sets rules. You got to follow those rules. Maybe the carrier might give a little bit on some rules. Maybe some carriers don't, you know, it all depends on your relationship with those carriers. So what we see is we see that, you know, that a lot of people out there, they want their cake and they want to eat it too. You know, just like, you know, talking about that, it got me fired up this week when I saw that a lot of owner operators were against allowing underage drivers under the age of 21. The federal law is 21. A lot of states, it's 18 and over. You can be under 21 as long as you're over 18 and you got a CDL to stay in the state. They want to make it now where you can drive over the road, cross state lines, being 18, 19, 20 years old. A lot of owner operators don't like that because of the training standards. And you know what? I agree. Training standards are not, there's no training standards for the federal level as long as you can pass the tests that the states give. Okay. But the problem is that that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about people that know how to drive, that have already been driving, that we just want them to be able to go across state lines. They should be allowed to. I saw one guy comment on there on the Facebook post, and he said, so tell me the difference between a brand new driver coming out of truck driving school that's 19 years old compared to a driver coming out of truck driving school that's 51 years old. There's really no difference, you know, as far as training goes, you know. And I would contest that there's probably no difference between maturity level either. You know, I mean, there's you can't go by that these days. You know, all you can do is give the guy a chance. And, you know, a lot of times they burn their own bridges, and that's what happens. It's not, you know, driving safely and not having accidents. That's the least, I don't know. To me, I see carriers out there. They're not looking, they see drivers out there with bad records. Well, if you have accidents, then no company's going to hire you. Okay. If you go from job to job, if you get hired by one carrier and then 2 years later, another carrier, then 3 years later, another carrier, and then 5 years later, another carrier, or you get fired and get fired, but you're not having accidents. And they say, we don't have any accidents. Why are you not working for these other companies anymore? Why aren't you doing all that? And what it boils down to is just reliability or, you know, getting along with people and all that kind of stuff. You know, you got to do that too. So, but this lawsuit here, what got me thinking was, like I said, California has changed a lot of their rules, making it harder for owner operators to do business, especially owner operators that don't live in California. They're trying to go in California, you know, they changed the rule with the trailer skirting. They changed the rule with all of the emission standards. California really makes the laws, and then everybody else has to catch up. So what I'm going to say to you is that you, like I just said in the last paragraph, the new administration is trying to change the rules in favor of what California is doing by reclassifying owner operators and reclassifying independent contractors. So if you're currently in that situation, then you need to look out for that. So that's what I just want to tell everybody. So like I said, we're going to be following up on this information. You know, I pretty much just Google trucking news every couple of days and see what comes up and see what pops up. So you never know. Like I said, these other websites out there, freightwaves.com, it's a good website to get some news. Freightwaves is good for truckers because if you, let's say that you want to know the news and you want to search on Freightwaves, you can go to Freightwaves. You know, they ought to pay me for sponsorship because this is, I'm basically telling what they do. What they have is they have a little software on their app, on their website, to where each article is an audio. So the article is written, you can read it. But what it does is at the top, you know, let's say that you're at a truck stop or you're maybe in the truck and you're messing around. You know, I like doing this where you turn something on, some kind of audio is going on. Like even the satellite radio, you leave it on while you're messing with paperwork or you're cleaning the truck or whatever. So you can hear it and something's going on in the background and you can kind of listen to stuff. Well, it's the same way. The article's written, but you can hit a button and it'll do an audio. And it's a pretty cool deal. I'll go back up to the top here and hit it real quick. And it's like a computerized voice. So
California court dismisses XPO meal / rest break complaint.
See, so, and it basically just reads the article. So that's a pretty cool deal, I thought. And once you hit the article, it pops up and right below their headline, it has that little audio deal on there. And that's good. You know, you don't want to do it while you're driving. Of course, you know, you're searching, but it's a good deal to pop up. Like, you know, if you're just wanting something to listen to real quick and you don't feel like sitting there reading, or you want to be able to write something down as you're doing, or maybe even take notes while you're in, you know, looking into learning what's going on, you can just hit that and it'll read it for you basically. So I thought that was a pretty good deal, and that's on freightwaves.com. And of course, CDLLife.com, they got a lot of good stuff. The Trucker, I think, is one of them. And then what's it called? Like Over the Road or something like that. But I was just checking to see. There's, like I said, you Google trucking stories and all that stuff pops up, and it's pretty easy to see. Pretty awesome. So truckernews.com, trucker.com. Of course, OIDA has some good stuff. DAT has some news. So stuff like that. It's always good to have information like that. And of course, we, Redneck and I's, here on our podcast every Sunday night, we try to go over what happened that week, which is always cool. So you can check that out. You can call in 516-387-1733 and call in on Sunday nights, and that'll get you on there. And it's 7 o'clock Eastern time every Sunday night. So we're going to keep doing that throughout the summer and keep everybody informed. And then we also, put out YouTube videos with covering some of this stuff. And if anything pops up, we try to get it out as quick as we can to help drivers out. And, of course, we go to the truck shows. And if you are looking to learn about the trucking industry, truck shows are the best place. They are pretty awesome. And can't wait to get back to some of the truck shows. You can get some of the – they have a lot of deals going on at the truck show where you can see the different apps. And Trucker Tools will be there. And, of course, all the other apps that have apps about booking freight and getting news and information like that. Like bookkeeping software, they have booths on there. And all of the radio shows will have their stuff going on. Different outlets to where you can learn about the industry. And then there'll be some seminars. FMCSA usually has a couple of seminars. In the last few years, they've always had like the director of the FMCSA give a speech. The 2019, I think it was, the Secretary of Transportation was there giving a speech. And that was pretty cool. So, stuff like that, it's a big event and there's a lot going on. And it's all types of industry standards. So you got, the big people in the industry, and you got the small little guys selling flashlights. So that's what's cool to me, is they're all mixed together. So it's pretty awesome. But like I said, we're going to keep on going here. We got more stuff to cover. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and go subscribe to that. Great sponsor we got is DPF Regeneration. A great bunch of people out there, and they've been helping us out since the beginning. And that is dpfregeneration.com. Or you can go to webakem.com. Webakem.com is a cool name for a website. But they're also at 800-634-3010. Check them out. Give them a holler. Basically what they do is they help drivers take care of all of their diesel mufflers and filters. All the different size engines have all different size of mufflers, regen systems, particulate filters, all that kind of stuff. And it can get complicated, especially when you got to deal with the computers and all that. So DPF Regeneration, it's cleaning and emission supplies. So if you want to work on stuff yourself, they got, the equipment you can get to do that for yourself, or you get by a shop. They have a network of shops you can get by there, and they can get by things where they can check out, different stuff to get worked on for you. But they have a facilities where they can clean the filters and then get them right back to you, or you can order new filters. So, and they do it all for the buses and the RVs, any kind of, they do stuff for the dealerships, all kinds of different trucking fleets to use their services. So, it's pretty cool, and we appreciate DPF for supporting Redneck and I's out there. So give them a holler. That's 800-634-3010. Or dpfregeneration.com. So check them out. And we're going to step away, take a little break, and we'll be right back. All right. Stay safe out there. Later on.
What?
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.
Wild one when she's angry. Handle her with care and she'll get you there. only life for me, Tanker Yankers.
Back at it here. Awesome. So, all right, yeah, we're back. Hey, that was some great music there by our good friend Bill Weaver. good music there. I always enjoy listening to Bill. You can check him out. You know, he's on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. Bill Weaver. It's a W-E-A-V-E-R, and man, he's got some great music, man. We sure do miss hanging out with him. He comes to the truck shows and picks and grins all night long. I mean, he's one of those guys where he basically knows every song, knows how to play it, and just great guitar player, and we really enjoy having him out there hanging out at the parking lot with us when he can. You know, he's a busy guy, so so we hope to get that to do it again. But, yeah, so we're just getting back at it. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Give us a holler at 516-387-1733. And be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We appreciate anybody's feedback we got going on. You know, we also got a great YouTube channel out there. So if you can, just go over there and hit the subscribe button to the YouTube channel and give us a holler. You know, give us some feedback. Let us know. Comment, share, you know, like, all that stuff. That really helps us out because we're trying to build that up to where that's where we are. You know, we're on the website, we're on the podcast here on Unplugged Radio Network, and we're also on YouTube. And then that way, you know, because we started out at the truck shows. That's where we started. And we basically, all we were doing was a great thing that everybody enjoyed, which was just gathering people at the parking lot and cooking dinner and hanging out and just having a good time. And people seemed to like that. And the bad part is that it's hard to do. And it takes support, and it takes, you know, it takes money. It takes, we like to think that we have great donations coming in from different sponsors, privately, stuff like that. And, of course, it takes people, logistics, all that kind of stuff. And you ask anybody, they say we do the best. So, you know, what are you going to do, right? So we're going to keep at it and keep doing the best we can and try to make it, you know, fun for everybody. We just need, we need more help to do that. And we like to basically let the, you know, the powers that be know that we are here to help. And we don't, you know, I'll tell you what, ain't none of us getting rich from doing it. You know, we're just happy to do it because we're happy. We love hanging out with truck drivers. So, you know, we just want to be able to get involved and help drivers have a great time out there, because I think that's probably what the big thing that is missing from the truck show industry is having that, the different tiers, levels of involvement because you can't have everybody doing something at a high level, because then what you do is you kind of you create this I don't know, it's kind of like when you go to Walmart and you're looking for something and you can't find it, so you go ask somebody and nobody knows, and then you say, you know, hey, I'm looking for, you know, five towels instead of just one towel. You only have one towel here. Can you check to see if you got more? And all we have is on the shelf. You know, so when you create this big box store, when you create this big event, and then nobody's looking out for for each individual person. And so you got to keep it small. You got to bring it down so that you've got different people that know what's going on in their area and can keep track of that. You know, when you go to a small town store, or, you know, it might be a bigger chain, but it's more regional. Each individual person that works there might know a little bit more about what's going on. So that's the other thing, is like I don't care to get involved in the, you know, what do you call the seminars and everything that's going on inside the big part of the show. You know, I don't want to get involved in trying to help or keep people from buying stuff or selling stuff in the truck show. I don't want to keep people from eating what they want to eat at the truck show. I just want people to be able to come around, sit, have fun, and relax, and not be attacked by everybody trying to sell them something. You know, just kind of hang out. You know, the amazing thing about the truck show is that even though you're not one of the big sellers or performers, you still go there. And then you grow into that performer. You know, you go put a guitar on your back. If you want to play guitar and you're just a truck driver out there trying to play guitar, show up to the truck show with a guitar on your back. I guarantee you somebody's going to ask you to sing. Somebody's going to ask you to play. Guarantee it. Doesn't matter where you are. You could be walking through the show. You could be walking through the parking lot. Somebody's going to say, hey, pull that guitar off your back and show us what you got. That's what somebody's going to do. The next thing you know, you could be at the Grand Ole Opry. You never know. So just remember that it's just about hanging out with people and having a good time. And that's what we enjoy doing. So getting back to some of the news, you know, I kind of chuckled when I first saw this article, but it seemed like it might be kind of serious. On CDLLife.com, this was published on April 2nd. It says, trucker accused of kidnap assault of a teenager says it's all a misunderstanding. And of course, you know, tell the truck driver, yeah, misunderstanding, sure, we know what you were doing. But it seemed to be a little bit more serious as I read on, because it not necessarily, you know, like he was trafficking or he really, this is not a good thing. Here, I'll read it and let you judge for yourself. A North Carolina truck driver is facing kidnapping and assault charges after an incident he says was all a misunderstanding. The incident happened on Tuesday, March 30th at around 10 o'clock in Stanford, Kentucky. According to WKYT News, police were called to Lincoln Plaza on reports of a teenage girl running from a semi truck and a man chasing after her, assaulting her and forcing her back into the truck. When police arrived, they reported hearing frantic screaming coming from inside the truck, and the girl reportedly ran into the arms of the officer as soon as the police entered the cab. It says, we don't know that when we made contact. It keeps moving. The ads keep popping up. It says, we do know that when we made contact, she was being held against her will. She didn't want to be there at that time, said the Stanford Police Chief, Zach Milton. However, 29-year-old truck driver Noah Juarez says that the situation played out differently. From jail, Juarez explained that he and the teenager had been engaged in a nearly year-long relationship, and the scene on Tuesday was simply the two of them having an argument. It says, we're together, Juarez explained. Been together 11 months. We lived together in North Carolina. Her family was aware we were living together. And it says, we had been arguing since earlier the morning, but that's it, Juarez said. She has sent my mother text messages that none of that is true. I didn't do anything. While officers agree that it clearly wasn't a random kidnapping or human trafficking case, police still believe that a crime was committed here. It says, she was here, didn't want to be here, wanted to get away, Chief Milton said. Throughout the investigation, the girl pleaded with the officers to find a sentimental item she had lost during the argument. Luckily for her, it was found by the mayor, by chance at the scene of the investigation. Well, he's a small town when the mayor showed up. It says it was laying on the edge of a pothole. The sun hit it just right, Mayor Dalton Miller said. The 17-year-old has since been treated at the hospital, and social services are working to relocate her and her family. The incident is still under investigation, and Juarez is currently being held on charges of kidnapping, assault, and sexual assault. And I got to tell you, okay, this is a bad deal. All right, first off, if you're a parent and you got a teenager, you don't let them go run off with a 29-year-old. All right, we know that. Secondly, if you're 29 years old, I don't care if all the people that, you know, her guardians or parents are okay with it. I don't care. Okay. The government is not okay with it. Okay. The government still says it. Okay. Under 18 is not good. All right. And, you know, a lot of people fall in these situations, you know, movie stars fall in this problem, you know, this problem. So, you know, it's stupid to me. Stupid. And they got a picture of the guy on the website. It says to listen to the interview with Juarez, this side of the story, click here. So what's this about? This might be, this is the actual Kentucky News. They're going to have the article playing. Here it goes. He's going to start playing the article.
It can't change your future.
Now that's an ad.
Okay. They really did work with you to help you get through it. And it's already paid off. I finished school on Friday.
That's just an ad playing.
I have a brand new job with them. That's how much of a difference it's made.
If I could edit, I would.
A trip to grab a bite to eat Tuesday night led to a disturbing sight for some.
Say that they saw a female exit a semi and run from the semi. And then a male subject also exited the semi. Chased her down and assaulted her.
911 dispatchers sent officers who say they heard the 17-year-old girl screaming from inside the truck.
When she realized they were officers, she jumped out, escaped from them, jumped out into the officer's arms.
Truck driver and 29-year-old Noah Juarez from North Carolina was arrested. He's now charged with kidnapping, assault, and sexual assault.
We do know that when we made contact, she was being held against her will, and she did not want to be there at that time.
But from jail, the suspect is telling a different story. He says he's been having a relationship with this girl, and on Tuesday night, they were just having an argument.
We're together. We've been together 11 months.
Juarez says once the truth is out, it will all become clear.
We have been arguing since earlier that morning, but that's it. No, she has sent my mother text messages telling them that none of that is true, that I didn't do anything.
Police say it wasn't a random kidnapping or human trafficking, but a crime was still committed.
She was here and didn't want to be here, and she was trying to get away.
In fact, during all of this, police say she lost a sentimental item she pleaded with officers to find. The mayor found it the next day.
It was laying in the edge of a pothole. And the sun hit it just right.
Well, they say the motive and other details of this are still under investigation. In Lincoln County, Phil Pendleton, WKYT.
But I tell you what, like I said, hearing him talk, that's an idiot right there. That's a big idiot. I don't care. That's just crazy. That's just crazy. We'll see about trying to get that out to everybody, share that with them. I'm probably going to put it on Facebook later because this is the kind of stuff where this guy, just take his CDL away. I don't even want him driving truck no more. I don't care. You know, this is the kind of crap that gives truckers a bad name. This is why truck stops aren't in big cities. This is why, you know, truck parking is not allowed because drivers do stupid crap like this. This is, you know, I really don't care if she was there willingly. If she's underage, then she's not capable of making her own decisions. That's why she's technically underage. That's why the government says she's underage. You know, and I don't know, man, shoot. Even I think her family probably needs to be investigated for letting her run off with a 29-year-old truck driver. They got a mugshot of him, and he's like just above 5'6". He's right at 5'6". Small person, probably, I don't know, how do you do that? How do you meet people like that? How does a teenager meet a 29-year-old truck driver? I don't answer that. But anyway, like I said, I don't like covering individual stories sometimes, but they pop up on here because there's a lot of clicks going on and everything. But that's one of the ones that I kind of saw. And it kind of hit me. It struck me funny at first because he said all misunderstanding, and I'm like, yeah. But then it's like even more of an idiot. Just, you know, let's see, where's that one? Oh, here it is right here. Okay. So, we saw one last week down in Pearsall, Texas, where the driver tried to blend in with all of the illegals coming out of the back of his trailer. This says here that 123 immigrants discovered inside a trailer of a driver who says that he was not aware that he was transporting people. It says a truck driver was arrested in Texas last week after Border Patrol agents discovered more than 120 undocumented immigrants in the back of his trailer. The smuggling attempt was discovered on March 24th at around 7:50 p.m. at the Interstate 35 checkpoint in Texas. So, okay, I've been there. You've been there. It's a big checkpoint. They've got like three or four truck lanes, like six or eight car lanes. And of course, all the trucks all pull over to the right and all disperse into the truck area. Let's see. It says, according to LMT Online, Jesse Doria Thomas, a truck driver of 27 years, was attempting to pass through the checkpoint when the Border Patrol agent recognized that the trailer matched the description of one involved in a suspected smuggling attempt. The agent then asked Thomas about his cargo, but Thomas muttered an answer that was not understood right then and there, because we know what we're hauling, you know, and if we look at the paperwork, we know. We're always asked when we leave out of there, we're always asked, hey, you know, what do you got? And when we pick up our paperwork down in Laredo or the border or whatever, we know that we're going to be asked when we head up north. So we look to make sure what's the paperwork say. If the paperwork says freight all kinds, we answer freight all kinds. You know, we know the customer. We kind of guess what we got. A lot of times what I'll look is if I'm hauling, it says freight all kinds and I'm going to General Motors, then I tell them car parts. You know, if I'm hauling, sometimes it's water heaters come out of it a lot. We pull that a lot. A lot of car parts. I forgot what other stuff in detail, but we always know. So if he mutters something that was not understood, then I don't know. He kind of suspected. He kind of knew what he was, he should have, like I said, I don't know. Like I said, maybe these traffickers need to hire real truck drivers. I don't know. People that know what they're talking about when they go through these checkpoints. I don't know. It says a canine unit then inspected the trailer and alerted to the presence of contraband. So the trailer was referred to a secondary inspection where an agent used bolt cutters to break the trailer seal and open the doors, revealing 123 immigrants inside. Thomas was promptly arrested. When interviewed, Thomas told agents that he had received a call earlier in the day offering him a job driving a semi-truck from a yard in Laredo to a Fuel America Travel Center off of Interstate 35. The caller was then supposed to pick up the rig and drive it to Austin. See, right then and there, come on. He wasn't even a real driver. He just got told, hey, drive down Laredo, pick this truck up and drive it up to someplace up on 35. You know, it says Fuel America Travel Center off Interstate 35. I don't know where that's at. We're too familiar with Fuel America. I don't know what that, if it's a TA, you know, I don't know. Thomas stated that he picked up the rig on the side of the road in the Mines Road area and drove it to a checkpoint where he was arrested. Dude, how many people, if you are down in Laredo and somebody tells you, pick up this truck and you say, where's the truck at? Sitting on the side of the road. I ain't touching that sucker. I know what's in there, you know? And you know what? Best case scenario is people. Worst case scenario is it's full of drugs, you know? Then you're definitely going down. It says Thomas stated he was going to get paid $100 for the pickup and drop off to the tractor trailer. During the collection of biographical information, Thomas stated that he has been a truck driver for 27 years and said that he did not verify the bill lading or check the trailer when he picked up the tractor trailer. Thomas stated that he did not know what he was hauling and was not aware that he was transporting undocumented individuals concealed inside the trailer, states the affidavit. The incident is still under investigation. That's just a bunch of crap. Man, that's a bunch of crap. He had to know. And if he didn't know, he's the biggest idiot. Well, he's only getting paid $100 to drive probably, what, all the way up to San Antonio? So, you know. What's that, a penny a mile less? So, yeah. I would actually like to see the guy's CDL. That's what I'd like to see. He probably doesn't even have a CDL. So, yep. Another one that's talking about truckers in a bad name. That's kind of why I've kind of pulled them together. I kind of suspected it would be the same way. And it's the same thing. All of this crap has to stop, you know. And what it boils down to is they're probably not going to serve a lot of jail time. Neither one of them, you know. Guy gets into a relationship. I don't care if she's willing or not. Gets into a personal relationship with an underage girl. You know, go to jail. All right. You go pick up a truck and trailer down in Laredo, and say you're getting paid $100 to drive it. What, you know, 200 miles. Go to jail. You don't deserve that. That's stupid. You know, that's what they wanted you to do. They wanted you to pick up that truck and trailer and drive it through the checkpoint, you know, and your last name is Thomas. So I'm assuming that, and they probably assume too, not knowing that you're, you know, probably average Joe. And if you, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know the guys down at the border that well. Sometimes I figure that they figure that they probably do some type of profiling to where if you're, you know, if you have some kind of, you know, Hispanic accent or a look, they might be more discrepancy for you. They're probably not supposed to, but they probably do, you know, so they go find Joe Blow, dumb Yahoo here. That'll do it for $100. And then if he gets caught, oh, well, you know, no. So like I said, you didn't even meet. You got a phone call. You know, he just, oh, Jesus, that just didn't make no sense. Anyway, so anyway, yes, I just hope that, and I know a lot of our listeners, a lot of our followers are agreeing with me. This is total crap and just uncalled for that people all across the world act like this. We just hate it that it's truck drivers that act like this too. Of course, you know, that's just how it goes, I guess. But hey, give us a holler. 516-387-1733. Check us out at redneckandeyes.com. This is the Unplugged Radio Network. This is Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we love everybody out there that's supporting us and everything. One of the great supporters that we have, a sponsor, is LTR Transportation. And that's a load to ride transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And they're a great trucking company based out of Denver, Colorado. And they got, you know, they got new trucks. They're cool looking, you know. They got a cool logo. They got cool pay packages. They got tons and tons of supporters of, like, different people they haul for, different customers. And just, you know, a great logistics network built. So, you know, and looks like they run all over. But, you know, hey, if you're looking for a change or looking for somebody that, you know, looks like they take care of their drivers pretty well. And you can give them a holler at 720-277-0030. Like I said, check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And we appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes. And, you know, give them a shout and let them know you appreciate that too. So we're going to step away here and take a little break. We'll be right back. So stay safe out there, everybody. All right, now. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this old girl and me, we've seen everything, from the mountains of the great northwest to the northeast tip of Maine. Well, this old girl and me, we've been through the eye of a hurricane, a tornado out in Tulsa, and them flooding Texas rains. Well, as the years have passed, we've held on to each other. Sometimes each other's all we had to hold. Been to heaven and hell and back again, from sea to shining sea, we've been everywhere. Well, this old girl and me, well, this old girl and me, she's helped me when I've cried. She held on to the rope for me the night my mama died. She's kept me safe and warm. She's heard me laugh, she's heard me cuss, and besides my woman waiting at home, she's the only girl I love. And as the years have passed, we've held on to each other. Sometimes each other's all we had to hold. Been to heaven and hell and back again, from sea to shining sea, we've been everywhere. Well, this old girl and me, hey, we've been everywhere. This old girl and me,
have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, but he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, you're awesome, up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals with cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case, and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, no child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found a mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you dog fight, no child, no.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
You see it at the truck shows, out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house. Johnny keeps it spit shine, shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. But why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Now he could have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people
people feel about it. You know, there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road. Just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt. He don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him. He'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah, he drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. It takes a real man to have the guts to drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there. What about that baby blue with the rust on the bumper thing? Right? You know, that thing.
All right. Yeah, it's awesome. We got, what is that? What was his name again? Oh, Leland Martin. That's right. Yeah, I forget these guys' names a lot. Yeah, we saw him at the truck show. I think that was back in 2012, maybe 2013, something like that. That was awesome. He's a great performer. They said he was a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. What do they call that? The Grand Ole Opry kind of thing. As it was pretty awesome. So yeah, just diving back into it, check us out at redneckeyes.com. Just check us out at YouTube channel also. We got a great YouTube channel out there, and we give them great support out there. So if you can go subscribe to that, that would be appreciated. But yeah, so what I wanted to dive into lastly here, coming to the end of the show, is I just saw kind of toward the bottom, and you know, it's kind of funny that one of the business sides of the trucking industry doesn't get a lot of clicks. So when you do a search, it's at the bottom because everybody clicks on all the stuff we were talking about earlier about, you know, truckers getting caught with underage girls and illegal immigrants, all kinds of stuff. But this one here, this is just trucking technology, and I kind of wanted to dive into that a little bit. Because, you know, it's kind of like we were talking about before, how they changed the rules to kind of benefit all of these fuel savings programs where we don't really know if they work or not. But this here, it's on a businesswire.com, and it's a Truck Labs announces Maxway Trucking's purchase and successful pilot of TruckWings fuel saving technology. Successful test of TruckWings technology with diesel fleets further validates durability and fuel savings for Maxway Trucking. And it's got a picture, and it's basically just a day cab. And what it has on the back, it has like expandable wings that fold out from the catwalk and extend and reduce the gap between the truck and the trailer. So, and we've seen that this technology probably could work pretty good. It just all depends on how it's implemented and reliability and cost and all that stuff. So it says here, out of Redwood City, California, from Business Wire, it says Truck Labs, a technology company helping transform the trucking industry, announces today that Maxway Trucking, a provider of specialized freight services in the western region of the United States, has adopted Truck Labs' patented Truck Wings technology to drive fuel cost savings and boost its sustainable freight practices. In a tweet, it says that we're excited about growing our partnership with Truck Labs as our company looks for ways to drive down fuel consumption. Maxway Trucking, based out of Salt Lake City, Utah, started a pilot program to test truck wings, an aerodynamic fuel savings hardware solution that closes the tractor-trailer gap. And on two trucks in September 2018, The close partnership and collaboration between Truck Labs and Maxway Trucking resulted in improvements to Truck Labs, Truck Wings product, which are now the standard on Truck Wings after the improvements. It says Maxway Trucking saw 5.3% fuel savings over 4 months. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So it says here, Maxway was pleased with the durability of the truck wings and the success of the overall pilot program, and now plans to implement additional truck wings on their fleet of approximately 100 trucks. And see, that's the thing, is the technology is going to work. We know that if you eliminate the draft between where the air cannot get into that area between the truck and trailer, you're going to reduce drag and you're going to maximize your fuel efficiency. The problem is the device going to last? Is it going to, if you pay a certain amount for it, how long is it going to take you to make that money back? And if you're going to use it and it's going to work, you know, it's just like those big whale tails in the back of the trailers. You see them sometimes. They don't even use them. They're just back there taking up space. The drivers don't know how to use them, or they're probably broke, because over time, those devices like the hinges and the springs and all that stuff, they just mess up. So like, you know, if it's going to be used, then what's the use of having it? You know, so that's the thing. And then, of course, they've got a bunch of says here. Let's see. It says, we're excited about growing our partnership with Truck Labs as our company looks for ways to drive down fuel consumption, said Rex Hicks, operations manager at Maxway Trucking. Says we knew that. Says we know that other fleets had used truck wings and seen success, but we were not going to invest significantly until we had an opportunity to validate the durability and the fuel savings for ourselves. After running the pilot with truck wings and seeing positive results, we have decided to add them to several existing trucks, and we'll be looking to add them to the new trucks that we'll be bringing on to this year. Developed in 2014, truck wings can be equipped on semi-trucks using any type of fuel, helping them to significantly reduce aerodynamic drag. Data generated by more than 200 million miles of highway driving shows that truck wings provides an average fuel savings of 4 to 6%, which reduce both greenhouse gas emissions and fuel costs. I'm going to tell you right now, drivers, I mean, there's very few of them that, oh yeah, you know, emissions, minimum. No, it's going to save me money. I'm not going to be paying a bunch of money for something that might or might not reduce emissions, because the jury's still out on a lot of that stuff, you know. And over time, it has to be maintained properly. And see, the best way to reduce emissions is to burn less fuel, and burning less fuel is going to save you money. So that's a win-win for everybody. It says, we're proud to be working with Maxway on its journey for greater fuel efficiency by demonstrating truck wings delivery of durability and significant fuel savings, said Daniel Burrows, Truck Labs founder and CEO. Maxway has been a great partner in our continuous improvement efforts surrounding truck wings, and we're excited about adding additional products into their fleet to help expand the company's fuel and sustainability savings. It says about Truck Labs, established in 2014, Truck Labs, formerly Xtreme Trucking, is a design of engineering company building technology for the long-haul trucking industry. Its flagship technology, Truck Wings, automatically closes the tractor-trailer gap, reducing a fleet's fuel bill without requiring additional actions by the driver or any trailer modifications. Founded out of Stanford University, Truck Labs has won awards in several Department of Energy competitions, including National Clean Tech Awards and Caltech's Flow competition of heavy duty trucking top 20 products in 2019. Truck wings are currently deployed within carrier fleets that average more than 2 million miles per week. For more information, then they give their website. And, you know, hey, that's great. Like I said, if it helps save money, well, that's where it's at. You know, if we can reduce the cost. Now, my question is, because it doesn't really explain how they work, and there's not a video attached. So maybe, let's see. So it says automatically reduces. Well, I don't know what does that mean. Does it mean it does it where the driver doesn't do it? It automatically folds out, automatically folds in. You know, to me, it would have to be, if it was, you know, you're right. It would have to be some type of automatic thing to where once a truck gets up to highway speed, then it comes out. And if a truck drops below, like, say, 30 miles an hour, then they automatically fold back in. It's kind of like the Porsche has their little wing in the back, and it automatically comes up and goes down depending on the speed of the vehicle. Let's see, truck wings. And it's got a, yeah, see, now here, according to the video, what you see is the wings are automatically deploying. Like they fold out automatically. And it says automatically deploying panels for the back of the cab to cover the tractor trailer gap when the truck is at highway speeds. The panel automatically retracts at slow speeds, allowing the trailer clearance in turns. And there you go, see? And it's also, it's got a side and a top. So it does everything. And they've got a video attached at their truckwings.com website. And so that looks pretty cool. Like I said, it's reliability. Is it going to work? Is it going to last? You know, that's the big thing. And if they're using them, you know, that might be something that that owner operators can think about. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that were creating technology suited for owner operators, you know, because if an owner operator, you know, let's say that you are a van hauler and you're an owner operator and all you do is haul, you swing the doors. Well, you know, having this on your truck is probably a good idea. If you're always hauling, you know, 13, 6, 14 foot trailers, then having this on the back of your truck would be advisable because, you know, that way, you know, like the truck they have in the photo here in the video, that truck's got everything on it. It's got the wheel covers. It's got the they call them the aero panels in between the drive tires, all of that attached to it. And if you put some type of skirting under the trailer or any kind of what was the other thing? I forgot what the name of it, but it was kind of like a device that allowed that directed the wind underneath the trailer and through the tires through the axles. And then coming out the back, it kind of eliminated the drag, allowing the air to flow under the trailer, that kind of thing. You know, if you got that kind of stuff, you know, ain't no telling what you can do. You know, I remember, 10, 15 years ago, drivers were doing this to their own trucks. They were making their own devices, you know. I mean, and it wasn't that stuff, you know, it's kind of like when you build your own APU. You know, it's not going to look pretty. It may work for a while. It might not last as long, but at least you're trying. You know, but this here looks, seems pretty good. Like I said, it's truckwings.com. We'll get that out there to everybody and let them take a look at it. It's pretty cool. And these are the kind of things you might see at the truck show coming up pretty soon. So is that kind of technology. And what they want to do is, in my opinion, if you are a manufacturer of these things, and of course you need the big support from the big carriers. Well, you know who the support, if you can get the driver support, then the carriers will get it. Because you know what's so funny? It's just like the Bose ride seats. Okay, they're expensive, all right? If drivers had the opportunity to get those in their trucks, they would, but they're really expensive. So if you're a company driver, you're not going to get that seat. Well, if the company sees the value of keeping the driver happy and comfortable, then they go out and they get these seats. They go out and they buy them in bulk to get them for a better discount and put them in the trucks where they say, hey, come work for us. We got the nice seats. You know, that's the kind of thing. If you do things that help drivers, then the drivers are going to want to work for those carriers that have the nice stuff that drivers like. So Truck Labs, what I would do if I was you, I would, you know, get out to the truck shows or wherever you can to show your product. If your product works and drivers like it, then the drivers are going to support it and they're going to tell their carriers to get it. And like I said, as long as it works and doesn't have to be maintained like those whale tails, you know, backs of the trailers and all that, you know, that stuff, it's not automatic. The driver has to do something to either open it or close it. And, you know, since that, you had to rely on the driver to use it. So things like that. But yeah, that's about it on that. And And like I said, we keep posting stuff like that. If you can, we get out there and we try to talk about stuff like that. We try to get out to the truck shows and just share our ideas with drivers and what it takes to be an operator, you know, what it takes to be a truck driver all in general. We try to talk to the regular public of how to drive out there on the road, you know, making right turns, making left turns, lane changing, stopping on the side of the road, exiting and entering and exiting the highway, the freeways, you know, all that stuff. You would think that's common sense, but even truck drivers have a hard time doing it safely and doing it, I don't know what you call it, you know, common sensely. You know, that's what it's all about, common sense. And I think that's what we try to do here at Redneck and I's, is provide some kind of common sense looks at things, the way people think about things. So it's all great and dandy. And I hope everybody has enjoyed their Easter holiday out there. I think we're going to bring it to a close here and hope everybody enjoys themselves. So like I said, check us out at redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go to our YouTube channel and check that out, and please subscribe. And, you know, hey, share the videos, like them, comment on them. Let us know what you think. We got a lot of great videos talking about being an owner-operator, talking about certain maintenance issues, talking about just, you know, trying to talk to four-wheelers about how to drive around big trucks when they get out there and they see big trucks doing things. There's a method to the madness. And when you see a truck doing something out on the road and you wonder, you know, if you want to figure out what they're doing or what they're thinking about, you go on those, watch those videos. I remember telling my family a lot, you know, when the trucks are going down the highway and you see other traffic around you and you wonder, why is that truck trying to change lanes or not change lanes, or why is that truck speeding up or slowing down? And you kind of tell them, hey, they're waiting on you to pass so that they can pass this vehicle. So you need to get on it, get around this truck, and don't hesitate. The worst thing you can do out there is hesitate around a big truck, because first off, the truck doesn't read your mind. They don't know what you're doing. And if you hesitate, then they really don't know what you're doing. So you need to be decisive. And basically, if you're going faster than that big truck, let's say you're coming up on them, you know, you're in the left lane, they're in the right lane, and you're coming up on them, fixing to pass them. You see it all the time. Truck drivers can know, they agree with me. A lot of times you hesitate. A lot of times you back off on the accelerator, not necessarily braking, but you back off to slow down a little bit because you're kind of hesitant about whether or not you should pass. You know what? Get on, get around that truck, get away. Okay. The closer you are to those trailer tires, the worse off you are. The rule of thumb. Okay. If you're right behind the truck, whether you want to pass them or not, if you're right behind them, something bad can happen and it can affect the vehicle. It can affect your, you know, something can, you know, you're going to get chipped from the rocks coming off the tires, or something could fly off the truck. Cause you know, there's a lot of things hanging, dangling from the truck that should be secure, but debris falls up, hits things, knocks things off. You never know, you know, those attached things could come flying off. And of course, if you're behind that truck, you're the first target. So if you're directly behind the truck, that's the worst place to be. You get back, get off, back off. You know, you see Yosemite Sam mud flaps, you know, it says back off. Well, either back off or get up, get around it and get going. Cause just get, you know, I remember a safety guy, when I was first driving, one of the recruiters wanted the safety guy to be on the radio with the recruiting, and the safety guy's like, I don't want to be on the radio. And that's like, well, you know, that might be pretty cool. And he's like, what am I going to say? People are going to call in saying, you know, what do I do when I see a truck? Get away from him. Well, what do I do when the truck, get away from him? What do I do when I come up? Get away from him. It's basically what you could say is just get away from the truck. If you see a truck, if you can give that truck the room, give it to them and just get on, get out of the way. You know, in boating, in the ships and out here in the harbors and out on the open water down by where I live, the big boats have the right of way. The little boats have to get out of the big boat's way. In trucking and driving, that's not the case. Everybody has to yield to each other. Well, it would be really cool is if the cars, I don't mean like yield, like get out of the way. I mean, like, just give them the room, give them the space. Okay. Cause if something bad happens, that truck needs that space, you know, and a lot of truck drivers, they may not utilize the space around them. So if more four wheelers could say, you know what, that truck driver, he might be a good truck driver, might be a bad truck driver. If I get away from him, I ain't got to worry about it. And that's the best thing right there. So like I said, check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Let us know what you think. you know, get on YouTube, check those things out, and give us your feedback on that. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram as well. When things happen, we post on there to let people know what's going on with what we're doing, getting out to the truck shows, spending time with drivers, hanging out, stuff like that. So so all that stuff, man, it's a lot of fun. Trucking is awesome. So until next week, everybody stay safe out there. Have a pleasant rest of your Easter holiday and stay safe. I know a lot of drivers will get out there and have to deliver that freight. You know, they might have to get down the road late tonight. So let's be safe and take care. You know, find something that you like to listen to on the radio, and you might have to start singing out loud and maybe have an extra Coke or two or something, maybe. But other than that, everybody have a great evening. And like I said, until next time, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.